This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey, everyone, and welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today. And today I have a special co-host on the line, and that's Meredith Curtis. Welcome, Meredith.
Hi, Felice. I'm so excited to be here, and it's always great talking about homeschooling.
Oh, I'm so in agreement with you. And today we actually have two sponsors, and the first is Powerline Productions. You can check out all of the books that Meredith has written, and they can be found on Amazon. So that's a quick place for you to go to check out those books. And you can also find Meredith's blog at MeredithCurtis.com, where she has a list of all her books. And also K12.com, we want to thank them for sponsorship of our show. Well, we are going to talk about some questions we have both gotten through the years, and some of these coincide perfectly with an email both Meredith and I got from a potential homeschooler someday. And so we're going to get right into it because there is a lot we want to cover. And so Meredith, one of the questions here, and I'm going to be asking you some questions and putting you on the proverbial hot seat, if you will, and I know you'll do great, because Meredith has quite a few books on this topic. And the first is on your decision to homeschool. But before you answer that, you know, there was a couple of other questions that I felt tied into it. And, you know, the other that I felt really went along with why you decided to homeschool was a question that was, you know, name some things that your that a family that wants to homeschool should have. And I really feel that those two are tied together. You know, like what made you decide to homeschool?
Well, it was the mid-80s, and that's when I first started looking into it, the late 80s maybe. I started homeschooling in 1991, so I looked into it several years before I actually did homeschool. And what I was seeing is I was seeing that the Reagan era was over, and things were escalating downhill even more as far as what was going on in the public school. And I also, you know, I wanted to raise my children to love the Lord and to obey Him and to see that the Bible spoke to every area of life. And when I saw homeschooling as an option, I saw homeschooling families and I saw obedient children and I saw families that were close-knit, and I thought, wow, that is a neat lifestyle and I want to explore this. Could I homeschool my children? So I did. I just began to look into it. Mike and I attended a Greg Harris seminar back in like 1989.
I remember Greg Harris.
Like
right.
And he was convinced, my husband. And so that was how we made our decision. We felt like God was calling us as we prayed. We just sensed that call to homeschool as a ministry. And I would say, when your second question in, what things does a family who wants to homeschool need is they need a commitment to the Lord, a commitment to educate, and a willingness to learn along with their children things they don't already know. So, there are things, of course, we can put in our homes. Like, I would say a homeschool library is essential.
Which and you can get over time. Right.
What? And that's something
you
build over time.
Right.
You build over time.
Right.
And, you know, maybe a globe and an atlas and a dictionary and a thesaurus. You know, if you have those things, you really don't need encyclopedias or anything like that, because you can always go to the library for those things. But so I would say, you know, commitment to build a homeschool library. And it's not so much the curriculum that's important as the willingness as a mom to be involved with your children and to teach your children And also, I think this is really important, is a love of learning, because if you don't love to learn, then everyone will find schooling a drudgery. But if you have an enthusiasm for learning, that will pass on to your children, and school will be fun, and everybody will enjoy what they're doing.
I couldn't agree more, and that was one of the things that I really wanted to hone in, is that, you know, to be equipped really is to be equipped by God, and having the faith that God led you to even think about homeschooling will also lead you to know that He will provide. And so people who have not had very much money for homeschooling have either had people donate things. I know I've just sent boxes of, you know, books to some charitable organizations. There are organizations in place to help homeschoolers if they don't have, you know, money for books. And, you know, I'm smiling as I listen to you, Meredith. Do people still use a dictionary and a thesaurus and things like that? But that really explains a lot about why Meredith's kids have done so well and gotten scholarships for college, and your youngest is now in college, because they didn't just go jump on the internet to find somebody else's answer, that they searched for it themselves, and we encourage that in our home as well. So, you know, I'm not saying you can't do that, but a lot of people just want to focus on, well, everything is online for us. And, you know, it always brings me back to those movies, you know, the gloom and doom movies where, you know, everything is, the internet's gone and then people are lost, you know.
Right.
Kind of reminds me of the Tower of Babel, doesn't it, a little bit? You know,
yes.
We put all of our hope on one thing, and we really need to equip our children to be able to search for knowledge on their own and not necessarily, you know, just believing anything they read online. So whereas it is a good tool, I use it daily, but there are, you know, other resources. And so, which brings us to curriculum, and I want to give a shout out for Meredith. Powerline Productions is our sponsor today, and I just want to go through, instead of playing a little commercial, I want to go through and just talk about some of your books today, Meredith. First I want to talk about, and I think it will answer a lot of these questions. Yeah, you didn't know I was doing this.
No.
I was surprised there. Well, Meredith and I don't plan a lot for our sessions. We let God be in control here. So, you know, and it's one of the highest rated shows that I have. So obviously the Lord does His thing, and we just have to stand out of the way. But a couple of the questions that we've gotten is about curriculum. Do you make your own? Do you have special curriculum? You know, what Christian curriculums do you recommend? And I'm going to just put a plug in for one of my books, Teaching Science and Having Fun, where I do talk about some resources for science curriculum specifically. But Meredith has done a great job in going through a lot of different curriculums as well as books. And the first is Joyful and Successful Homeschooling. I think that and the 7 R's were two of the first books I saw of yours. So let's just start with Joyful and Successful Homeschooling. Is that the one that was in two books at one point and now is combined?
It was.
Into one?
And as
okay.
technology progressed, I was able to put it into one. And that one actually, Felice, does, it's a huge book. I mean, it is about 3 or 4 inches thick, but it covers everything you ever wanted to know about homeschooling, as well as going through every single subject that you'll teach. And every time I talk about a different subject, I recommend different curriculums that we've used or that other people have used successfully and that I can endorse wholeheartedly. So you'll find that if you go, if you're interested in curriculum, and there's even a chapter on how to choose curriculum, how to look at curriculum at a curriculum fair, and, you know, how to make decisions, talking to other people and things like that. So it really goes through all of the nuts and bolts of when you want to homeschool your children, how do you set up your home? How do you how do you schedule it? How do you make lesson plans? How do you keep your family organized and the house tidy? And And then, of course, how do you teach? What are methods to teach? What should they know when? There's a chapter on what kids should know at different ages, age brackets. So it covers just about everything you could ever hope to ask about homeschooling.
I love it. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want to answer a question from one of our listeners that emailed me and asked, is it too late to homeschool? And this is someone who has been listening to Vintage Homeschool Moms through the months and really is convicted to homeschool, but was afraid. So when we come back, we're going to take that question and then cover some more of the books that Meredith has. We'll be right back.
K-12 believes every child is uniquely brilliant. So to prepare them for college success beyond high school, they deserve an education designed for them. Learn more at k12.com/listen about enrolling. A child's brilliance comes in many forms. Some are curious, others inventive, or analytical. K-12 is a full-time, tuition-free online option to traditional public schools. Taught by state-certified teachers, schools powered by K-12 provide an individualized education, enhancing your child's ability to succeed. K-12 programs teach to and embrace your child's unique brilliance. Students from K-12 powered schools go on to fine colleges and universities, enhancing their ability to succeed. Be part of the community of families who have succeeded with tuition-free online K-12 education. K-12 welcomes students for grades K-12. Visit k12.com/listen or call 855-628-9529 for more information about enrolling. That's k12.com/listen or call 855-628-9529.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us today. Today we're talking about homeschooling and what you can expect when you consider homeschooling, or if you are a homeschooler, what you will, maybe some questions that you've had that you have not thought of before. And the name of this podcast is Homeschool Answers, and I wish I could tell you what podcast number it is, but I forgot to write it down, so I don't have that. But I will look it up as we're doing the show, and I'll give you that because that's where our show notes will be. So you'll want to go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and look for the podcast Homeschool Answers, and you'll find our show notes there with some links to Amazon where you can find Meredith's book. And before we went to commercial break, one of the questions I got from a listener, Meredith, was, is it too late to homeschool? And what would you say to that?
Well, I don't think it's ever too late to homeschool, Felice. I know a woman who started homeschooling her senior in high school, and the daughter loved homeschooling so much. She said, Mom, can I postpone college one more year, and can we just study some subjects from a Christian perspective? And wow. It was really just a wonderful time that this mom had with her daughters. And, I would say no, it's never too late. It's not too late. And if you feel like God is leading you to do that, you can do that. We did a show on Finish Well for high schoolers who suddenly find themselves after years of public school being homeschooled. And so a mm-hmm. bunch of homeschool kids, about three or four of them, gave advice to this newbie. So if she's a high schooler, she's going to start to homeschool. I'd recommend that show. And just tune in and let your teen listen to that.
Okay, I'll put a link for that in this podcast in the show notes. And then also, you can find Meredith and her group. There's different people that podcast on the Finish Well Radio from time to time. And if you just go to ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com and just click on the Finish Well button, it's that really bright F flag. I love it with the king's crown there. So you can see a lot of the different people who, jump in and share the floor, if you will. You know, sometimes you're in the background, but she's got some great shows here. You know, one of them I thought was particularly good, especially in this day and time, and that is Freedom from Mean Girls. And I think that's a great show to listen to, among others. And Meredith, let's talk about some of your other books here, too, because I think for someone who's considering homeschooling or even wants some advice, because I know sometimes, you know, my daughter will come to me and say, you know, Mom, what do you think about this for language arts or this for history? And I'm her resource. You know, a lot of people don't have moms who have homeschooled. So you have the book, 7 R's of Homeschooling, and I really love that because it's a little bit less intense than Joyful and Successful, but Joyful and Successful should be considered the homeschool manual that people have on hand to really be able to, you know, research their answers. I think you did a great job with that. But let's talk about the 7 R's.
Well, the 7 R's is people keep asking me, how do I know if my child is learning? How do I know if they're learning what they're supposed to learn? And what are the main things I need to focus on? And so I would say, you know, the main things that you need to keep as focusing, you know, majoring on the majors would be reading, writing, arithmetic, research, and rhetoric. And rhetoric is just communication, oral communication skills. That's how I used it that way. And then 2 other ones would be relationships and right living. And so when you're homeschooling, it goes through these areas of how to keep family relationships healthy, how to teach your child to live in a way that's upright, that's good. And then it goes through these 5 subjects. How do you incorporate these things into different subjects so that your child is learning to read well, that your child not just read well, but learns to be a fluent reader and love to read? Then how do you teach children to communicate clearly? How do you teach them to write? How do you teach them to do math? And how do you keep checking up to make sure these skills are moving forward? Because a lot of times people don't like math, so they ignore math, and then all of a sudden they find out, oh, to be a doctor, I've got to have a lot of math. And so they're catching up, you know, about the age of 15 on all this math they never had. So it's just laying a foundation of academic success and life mm-hmm. success. So
wonderful. Yeah, and that really is the key, I think, especially when you are working, you know, with diverse ages of children, which, you know, happens within the home. And
right.
It really does help a lot. And then you also, and this is, of course, an area dear to my heart, and that's unit studies. And you have a book for those who, you know, you don't hear so much about unit studies. When we started homeschooling, that was the flavor of the month, I call it, because a lot of people did do unit studies, and it covered a lot of purposes. And the first is it brought children of diverse ages together, so you could mm-hmm. Be teaching on a specific concept or theme. And the other is that we loved it because it was project-based, and it didn't really have a ton of textbook, which, you know, it was really the way I went probably, I think, until the late middle, early high school, because we still did some project learning type things together, even when my kids were in high school. So that was an important aspect, I thought, and it's really, my kids remember that. They don't remember, oh, Mom, I loved this math curriculum. They said, Mom, I really loved that, you know, unit we did on weather, or, you know, whatever it was that we study the Middle Ages. They still, you know, Christina still remembers that. Now she's a homeschool mom. So, you know, let's talk about your book. How does that help families who maybe are considering doing a unit study and just have no idea where to start?
Well, that's where I was at. I love the idea of unit studies, but I thought, well, what if I miss something, you know? So it's kind of a hand-holding thing, because if you have a large family and they're of a wide variety of ages, it is a great way to learn together. And that's why I always loved unit studies. And So it starts with choosing a topic and then how to choose, read aloud books and read on your own books. And then it just teaches you step by step how to incorporate language arts, how to incorporate hands-on activities, how to incorporate field trips, how to incorporate looking and listening, you know, even how to add science in and math in and those different things. So it's very clear and easy to understand. And as I say in the book, you know, if you want to just take baby steps, then you can try adding a few of these activities to a textbook that you're going through, you know, and you can just take one step at a time. But I think the people who have read the book say to me, this book is worth the price in the book list in the book alone. And the book is filled with different book lists with the, you know, for topics and all kinds of read aloud books that fit into different areas. So that is the feedback I've gotten, and it actually is one of my most popular books.
Very good. And again, I'll have links, and it is podcast 150 is what this episode is, and it's called Homeschool Answers. And then also, Meredith, I wanted to discuss a little bit about homeschooling with various ages. We get this question a lot as well, and my daughter is struggling with this right now because she's got a newborn who really isn't the problem. You know, the baby's a couple of months old. It's her two-year-old because, you know, Olivia has her nap times, and so she's, you know, sometimes we'll just conk out in the morning, and sometimes she'll sleep in the afternoon. And so she's trying to work with some of her little ones that are reading and that need her there, you know, at different times. And so, you know, she was saying, I know I have to be flexible, but sometimes it's really difficult. So do you have some recommendations for people who are homeschooling with, you know, multi-age children, have more little ones underfoot, and you know, a toddler who naps, because it's difficult sometimes to homeschool with a toddler underfoot, let's face it.
It really is. And what we used to do is when we would read, I would read with the older children, I would have a little box of activities that would come out for the toddler. So we would be doing, say, reading our science out loud or reading our history out loud, and we would pull out the box, and then they would, you know, be playing quietly at our feet listening. And so we would treat the toddler as if they were part of the class. Okay, we're going to listen to history now, so you have to be really quiet. But while we're listening, you can play with your toys quietly, but you have to be listening. And so they felt like they were part of the big people, and that really helped a lot. Another thing was that I always had my new readers, part of their school every day was to read aloud to the toddler. So, you know, say I had a six-year-old who was just reading, you know, the phonics readers, but then I had an eight-year-old who was reading a little better, but they're still a young reader. So both of them had, as part of their school time, to read out loud to the toddler. So that pulled the toddler in, but also gave them practice reading out loud to a very appreciative audience, because my little ones just love to be read to. And then the very youngest, once I was done with the very youngest who was doing school, then they would have some kind of activity to do with the toddler. So, because they would need the least time of school. So say, you know, then I could work while they were playing. I could work with the bigger ones. So that's how I did it, because I always had little ones underfoot because my kids were a broad age range. So it wasn't like I had a big clump of kids. I had this wide age range. And one thing I would say is be really careful not to use the high schoolers to babysit the babies, because high school is pretty intense, and, you know, I've talked to so many high school kids who said to me, my mom just, she wants me to babysit the baby all day, and I can't get any of my school done. So keep that in mind when you're looking for help with the little ones.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, that's one of the things, you know, my friends have always said, you know, you came from a big family and your daughter still wanted a lot of kids. And it's because I didn't use her, you know, as a babysitter. Not that she didn't babysit. In fact, you know, when even after she was married, she would come over. I'd have my kids there if we went out to dinner, and I'd watch her kids. So I think just like you, Meredith, I don't think our kids ever had outside babysitters. There's enough family, you know, involved. But yeah, you know, that's very important because there is. And that brings us to Unlocking the Mystery of High School, Homeschool, High School, another book that you have. And one of the things you can do is you can just go over to Amazon and just type in the name Meredith Curtis and all of her, I believe it's like 3 or 4 pages of books will come up and you can see them all there. But I'll have specific links to these books that we've talked about today in the show notes on VintageHomeschoolMoms.com. So tell us about that book, you know, on high school.
Well, Laura and I wrote that book together. Laura's my friend that we do Powerline Productions together, and she does a lot of the graphic design. And we have sat down with so many women who have asked us questions about homeschooling, and we realize, okay, we say the same things over and over again. And, of course, we do Finish Well, the Homeschooling High School Conference. And so we just decided we need to write all this stuff down. So we just wrote everything down, and we tried to write it as if we're sitting, you know, in a coffee shop talking to a mom and saying, and, you know, she's asking us, well, what about this? What about this? And so we just shared, this is how we homeschool high school. And there's a chapter in it that even goes step-by-step how to create a transcript on Excel. So you can create your own professional-looking transcript that, you know, is completely done in Excel. So anyway, so that's kind of, you know, the story behind the book. It talks about, you know, what are colleges looking for, what are options beside college, and then how do you teach high school level classes? What about subjects where you feel really uncomfortable with the subjects? You know, how do you teach those subjects? It goes into even planning a graduation and making things successful. There's a section on a checklist of things that you need to do if you're going to dual enroll, if you're going to go to college, visiting colleges, when do you visit colleges, when do you take SATs, all those kind of things that people ask. What are the different options for courses that you can take to, you know, you want to show like a science, you want to show science classes and history classes, and what are options? And there's even some suggestions for naming courses. And then we shared all of our courses that we've done with our children and the descriptions of them, because we always send along with our transcripts a description of courses. And just, of course, reassuring parents that, you know, people love homeschoolers, colleges love homeschoolers, employers love homeschoolers, because overall they have developed for themselves a very good reputation as hard workers, as, you know, trustworthy. So that was really fun to write. I remember, you know, us sitting together and we would work on a chapter and read it out loud to each other and say, no, we need to rewrite that. And so we had a lot of fun together writing that book.
That's great. Yeah. And, you know, Laura's your partner in crime. She's very,
yes, she
very
is.
Capable. And it's amazing how God puts us with people who, you know, have a strength that we don't have. And I think that's another thing that will happen, you know, with homeschooling. And a couple of things that I wanted to talk about was, you know, like people who ask, well, how many hours do you spend in homeschooling, or what is your routine, and things like that. And what I want to say is I have a podcast, actually I'll put that link as well, called, and I'm going to do another one later on that's going to add to that, but it's called, you know, what type of homeschooler are you? And I talk about homeschoolers who are lifestyle homeschoolers, and there's a difference between, you know, just opening up the books and learning, and homeschoolers that see learning in everything. And I think because you and I are very alike, we both love to learn, and we see education all around us, whether it's in a book or as we're driving by, we see, you know, if we're studying birds, all of a sudden we see those birds. It's like when you get another car and you never see that car on the road until you get that type of car, you know, and so then all of a sudden every car that's like it, you see it. And it's that kind of thing. You think, gosh, you know, I never knew that there were so many cars on the road like that. And I never noticed them before. And the same thing with when you're studying whatever it is that you're studied, it's almost like the Lord opens your mind and you say, oh my gosh, you know, there's that bird that we were just studying that's, you know, that happens to fly into our yard on occasion. Now we see it everywhere. So your kids will be so excited to point that kind of thing out, especially when they're little. And then, you know, we do our work as needed. When my children were little, we took off Fridays, and Fridays were our field trip days, and we didn't go on every field trip. I think we did that to begin with, Meredith. I don't know if you did this with your homeschooling, but you find out you can be worn out. And when people would say, well, do your children even socialize? And you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, we're at a field trip almost every Friday, and then we take home three or four kids, and then we, you know, meet the parents for dinner, and then, you know, we just, everybody's done at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and the kids are exhausted, and then Saturday there's a birthday party, and then, you know, Sunday there's a park event with church, and, you know, you're so happy for Monday to roll around so you can just be at home with just your children yourself and get some school in, because it seems like it can be this huge party with homeschooling, especially getting connected to a homeschool group. I don't know if that was your experience when you began homeschooling.
Yes, I did. I tried to do everything and then had to pull back. I had to set days for us to be home. So, and then I found I really enjoyed that. So now I became a homebody. But can stay busy the whole day, the whole week, every day of the week if you wanted to with homeschooling. There's always stuff going on.
And I think, you know, we did co-ops when my children were little, and then we just didn't when they were in high school, because we felt that as much effort, and this was just our situation, that I was putting into teaching, let's say I did a couple of years of teaching a high school biology class. As much effort as I put into that class, I could, you know, do 10 more things at home with my own kids. And that's what I ended up doing for the youngest two. Probably the first three, I did some co-op stuff, but the youngest two, I didn't. And I felt like we got a lot more done in the amount of time. And plus, they were so involved in sports. Nick was as well, but not to the extent as the youngest two. So that's one of the things. And the other, you know, is when people talk about managing your home and that kind of thing, I think that all comes with experience and, you know, with time. At the beginning, you know, you may have some issues just, you know, trying to get your homeschool work done as well as managing your home. But there are so many things out there to, you know, cook. I don't bulk cook like some moms will just spend Saturday once every 2 or 3 months and just cook all day and then be able to freeze meals. I like to take whatever meal I'm making and double or triple it and bag it and put it in the freezer. And then I know, you know, what's in there. I have a little marker board thing that I have on my freezer. I have an extra freezer for that in the laundry room. And it's the same old freezer I've had for almost 30 years, I think it's been about 30 years. I didn't have it until I moved into this house, so maybe a little bit more than 30 years. And it's not frostless, and so it is a pain every once in a while to defrost. I always say at some point I'm going to, by the time I get around to getting another freezer, I probably won't need that big freezer. Everybody will be grown and gone. But but I do that, you know, Meredith, and I just make some extra meals that way. And then I know what, you know, those busy days we'll grill, you know, we'll put something on the grill. And those other days, you know, I'll pull something out of the freezer. And I also cook enough, I think, you know, to feed the whole town, the Italian in me. But we'll have leftovers for a couple of days, but we don't eat them the very next day. You know, we'll take a break from it. You know, what about you and managing? I know you're better at scheduling than I am, so you kind of divided up jobs with your kids.
Well, I have to laugh because I cannot even count how many times I've gone through the drive-thru at McDonald's and said, I will have 32 double cheeseburgers, please.
Oh, funny.
You know, because they were 99 cents. Which is
right.
Crazy because there'd be people over and friends, and when you add everyone up and everyone has to have two or whatever. So, but yeah, I think I would agree with you. We do similar things. And I did use a crock pot a lot when the kids were younger and it was harder to find time to cook. I would just throw stuff in the crock pot in the morning, and that would, you know, that would be a great way to get things going. And I always have, I don't as much anymore because it's honestly easier to cook now, but I used to do things like I would buy one or two lasagnas, Stouffer's lasagnas, and put them in my freezer. And then if I forgot to defrost something, then I could always, you know, grab it. And in fact, my daughter was teasing me today. She said, this is my daughter, Juliana, and she and her older sister, my oldest, Katie Beth, were talking, and they said, remember when Mom did, you know, she went through that phase where she did that, like, once a month cooking. That phase was about, like, 2 months, you know? So we did this once a month cooking, and I burned the spaghetti sauce, right? And so but I refused to throw it away because I had made so much of it. So I made these calzones with burnt spaghetti sauce. So Julian said, to this day, I will not eat a calzone because all I can remember is the calzones
so
with the
funny.
Burnt spaghetti sauce inside.
That's so funny.
So anyway, that
my
was
dad,
my
experience. That's the big experience with the bulk cooking, huh?
Yes, that is.
That's so funny. Well, that was a big book I think we all bought, Meredith. You know,
I think we did.
Have it somewhere on my shelf, you know, that's a way to do it. And it is, you know, but there are so many other really quick things that you can do that are, you know, nutritional and yummy. And so, you know, we did a bunch of things that tied into, and I know you did too, because you had a whole book, a cookbook on, you know, doing things that go along with unit studies. And I remember, you know, at one time when the kids were little, we were studying the different things about the prairies and the American Indians and all that kind of thing. And we did aluminum foil meals. Now, I don't know that the cowboys and Indians had aluminum foil, but my kids loved it that they could, you know, put their food in the foil thing. And even though they didn't like cooked onions, we had a slab of onion that they put their meat on top of and then layered vegetables. And even the picky eaters were happy to try it because it was really exciting to do that. So there's a lot of things you can do. And yeah, it's going to take some planning. You know, homeschooling is not, you know, you pack off your kids and you're done. It is work, but it is the most rewarding work. And I just love you, especially Meredith, because you and I have, you know, done it throughout our kids' careers. Not that they haven't taken a class or two here and there. You know, my kids did at the college and high school, but it was, you know, we homeschooled to the end, and I still have Michael, you know, and I'm excited about some of the things that we're going to be studying this year in particular, and he is too, you know, he's my last one home, so it's, you know, we just cherish those times because they go so quickly, and then one of the last things I want to address, because this came from Anna, who I believe was part of your church for a time, and now she's over in Germany, and she had a question about speaking bilingual. And the only thing I can say is whatever you and your family decide is what is the best for you. But one thing I do want to mention, because I grew up in a family that was Italian. My parents were immigrants and came to the U.S., but we still had family in Italy. And when my grandmother came, she didn't speak English, nor did she go to school in this country. But my my mother, she was 13 when she came here, and so she did go to school here. But they were really big on speaking English because we were in America. And while, you know, I wish my Italian was better than it is, you know, I really appreciated that, because not that you can't be bilingual and learn, you know, two languages. My cousins are all fluent, and they have their family is in Rome. My uncle's family was from Rome, and my family was from both Palermo and Messina, which is in Sicily. And so the only thing I will say, and that is my personal pet peeve, and not necessarily anything that, you know, might relate to you or your family, and that is that I believe that even if you are bilingual, if you are out in public, you should speak English, even if it's something that you don't want anyone else to understand. You just take that child or your husband or whatever, and you just move away, and then you can speak in whatever language you want. I think it's the most disconcerting thing to speak in another language in front of people who don't understand that language purposely, because you know they don't understand. I had a friend who was speaking Spanish once and reprimanding her child, and I could understand 90% of what she said because it's very close to Italian. And and when she was done and the child walked away, I said to her, I just thought you should know that I understood quite a bit of what you said. And I went on to translate, you know, and she just kind of looked at me in shock. And I said, you know, just in case there's something you don't want me to know, you just may want to not say it in my presence. You know, she turned out to be a really good friend. But, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a pet peeve. And I think because my parents were so happy about being in the U.S. and being American, and yet they didn't dump their Italian heritage, but they were, you know, raised us to be proud to be American citizens. I mean, I was born here. And some of my aunts and uncles were born here, and others were born in Italy. They went back and forth quite a bit. Never did get the whole story, and they're all gone now, which is sad, because my mother always said she wanted me to write her story. And I think I was just too young when she said that. But, you know, it's just, again, a personal preference. And I think, you know, in summing up here, as we end this show, Meredith, you know, there's not one right way to homeschool, is there?
There really isn't, Felice. And, you know, I think that God, if we seek him and ask him, hey, how do you want me to homeschool my children? What's your plan? What do you want me to do? He will give us a pathway that may look different from other people's. And we may even go through seasons of doing things different ways. And I think it's really important to remember that God has a plan, and we can either ask him what it is and fall in line with it, or we can go do our own thing. But I think if we find out his plan, it will be very exciting, and it will be an adventure, and we will be filled with joy as we're on it, and we will be successful because God is with us. I just think homeschooling is awesome, and I have not, to this moment, met two families that are identical. Our family's mm-hmm. very much like yours, but we're different. And, you know, like right. your family's very into sports. We played sports when the kids were younger, but then in high school we did not. And so you had all kinds of things, but then we were very involved in our church co-op, and that took up a lot of our time too. So, you know, we just, you know what I'm saying? Like every God right. has a plan for each of us. And so I think that if we seek him and ask him, we'll find that we have such an exciting adventure.
Right. And the other thing, too, as you're talking, I'm smiling because, as you know, I help people get published, and I've worked with some women that I've helped them publish their books. And I remember this one lady who was in her 80s when I helped her, and I loved the beginning of her book because she talked about sitting there and praying to the Lord, and her husband had died. And so, you know, she had some questions that she needed answered, and so she prayed to the Lord, and it was questions like, you know, Lord, what do I plant? in my garden, and she sat there and she listened and she wrote it down. And I, as I was reading her book, I said to her, you know, we need a little paragraph in here for people, because you just kind of reminded me of that, Meredith, when you were saying, you know, pray and seek the Lord. And because some people don't know, and maybe we need to do a podcast on that, on hearing the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote a little book called A Few Minutes with God, because my kids, you know, were saying, well, how do you know it's God? You know, and how do you, and I think it's when we pray, I'm going to add a little bit to it, and then I want you to finish our show with just, you know, we went off on a tangent here, but I think it needs to be said. You know, you can hear from the Lord, and he will give you these ideas. I mean, it can be simple, like, Lord, what kind of flowers should I plant? And then you just, you know, just give yourself a few minutes of quiet, and whatever comes to mind, you write down. Is it specifically from the Lord? Does it come specifically from you? You know, there's not a right or wrong answer to that. It can be a little bit of both. But the point is that, you know, if you're in the Lord's will and you're trying to follow the Lord will lead you. And then that's where all the little blessings and, as we call them, God incidences start to happen, that you're saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what I want to do for math this year. And then you might just get an email with a link, and you go to that link, and then you follow it, and you do a sample program, and you think, wow, this is great. Or you might say, you know, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can homeschool this year. I'm very ill. And that's where, you know, you might do an online school for 1 year. Or, you know, whatever that is, these little God incidences happen. But again, it's being in prayer, you know, reading your Bible, having prayer partners, people that you can pray with, and just listening. So that's my take on it, Meredith. And why don't you add
okay.
to that?
Last night we were listening to a sermon about counselors, and the pastor said, you know, God has given us 66 counselors. There are 66 books of the Bible, and I think if, you know, that is where we begin in praying and reading the Bible, and God shows us stuff in His Word, and then He speaks to us. And like you said, and the little lady, she prayed, and then she wrote it down. And also, I think all those things that you said are true. When we ask God to guide our steps, He leads us into the right path. We meet the right person. Sometimes God will have us meet someone, and what they share, we know, well, wow, that is just, I just don't see us doing that. And so that, you know, I had been wondering about that, but as she explains it, I know that's a closed door. And so I think the point is to surrender, because if we don't say to the Lord, guide my steps, lead me, I want to do what you want, Lord, show me, then we, if we're not doing that, we can't assume that He is guiding us and leading us, because we need to give Him that control. We need to surrender our own plans. So often we fall into a trap, I think, of seeing other people and thinking, well, I just am going to do what they're going to do, and not even asking God first. And then we end up really being unhappy and miserable. So don't forget to pray. Don't forget to write things down. You know, I used to go off for a day and just pray, bring my Bible, bring some worship CDs, and pray and read. And I would write down just whatever came to my mind about homeschooling as I prayed. So those, I agree, like, God cares about your homeschool, and it was really exciting to answer these questions, and just whoever is listening to this, know that if God has called you to homeschool, He will equip you and He will lead you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Meredith. And again, I so enjoy sharing the session with you, and I'm looking forward to continuing on. So thank you, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.